I'm joined by Andy Lyman. He's the man behind cannabis coverage over at NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com and the co-host of Growing Forward, and that's a podcast that explores the cannabis industry in New Mexico. Thanks for joining me today, Andy.
Hey, it's great to be with you again.
So a crazy week. Recreational use cannabis is finally legal in New Mexico, but with some caveats. It's only legal to possess cannabis products up to 2 ounces, 800 milligrams of edibles, and 16 grams of extract on your person. Plus, single adult homes can grow immature and mature cannabis plants, double that if more than one adult lives in the house. But, Andy, we still have to wait a year to buy cannabis products from the store. Some people are confused why that is. Can you give us a little bit of an explainer of why that is in the law right now?
Yeah, essentially, what the intention from legislators was that, as with many things, is when they pass a law or change the law, that you also have in the law written in there that you have to have rules and regulations to specify the ins and outs of how this all works. And so this law that just passed or that just became effective also had that in there. It's up to the department to decide the specifics of what sort of things businesses are required to do. And part of that is just the process of you don't want to get too specific in laws, right? Because it's harder to change laws. It's a lot easier to change rules and regulations. So essentially that comes down to the legislature gave this regulation and licensing department, you know, about a year to sort of figure things out and to come up with rules and regulations, what sort of fees they have to pay, what sort of expectations are for businesses and the different classifications of businesses and how those are different. So they, right now we're in the process of sort of locking down those rules. By September 1st, they have to start accepting applications for these businesses no later than September 1st. That's also sort of the thing is they can't really move forward with the application process till they get those rules locked down. Then they can start accepting applications. And then by January 1st, 2022, they should by law supposed to start issuing those licenses to folks. And then April 1st, 2022 is when they expect no later than for actual sales to start.
Man, there's so much to unpack in here too. And with that said, what else is new with the Cannabis Regulation Act coming into effect that people might not be aware of in terms of maybe medical cannabis or tax breaks?
I think we've talked about this before. There's this ongoing debate for actually a number of years now over whether medical cannabis should be exempt from gross receipts taxes, which is essentially what we often refer to or think of as sales tax. We don't actually have a sales tax. So it's for goods and services, but there's also a lot of carve-outs, like they say, or exemptions for GRT. One of them is medical prescriptions. The reasoning there from producers or from the people in the industry is that we are essentially giving people medicine. It's the same as a prescription drug in a lot of ways, and that's their take on it. And so we shouldn't have to pay gross receipts taxes. And that battle's been going on for a while. And in the middle of all of that, the legislature sort of came around and said, you know what, we do want to exempt this medical cannabis from gross receipts taxes. And of course, they make up the difference because now they're charging or they're going to start charging an excise tax on recreational use. So yes, as of June 29th, when the law went into effect, medical cannabis is also tax exempt, tax free now.
With all that said, the rules surrounding cannabis aren't quite yet set in stone. There's a lot up in the air. And on Tuesday or June 29th, if you're listening in a different time period, there was this hearing by the state's regulation and licensing department and its cannabis control division that took feedback about the proposed rules on cannabis related concerns. And I'm definitely assuming you watched at least some of the chaos that went down. I know I did. What were you hearing from the public? What were the biggest concerns? And maybe even touching on what people liked about some proposed rules as well.
One thing I noticed that sort of stood out to me was that there were a lot of concerns, but there was almost just as many, if not more, questions that sort of went unanswered for the day. Now, the regulation and licensing department said that they were sort of going to try to answer those questions. I'm not exactly sure the process in that, how they're going to address those questions. But what stood out to me was that there's just a lot of unknowns still. And I think that goes to the fact that they are still crafting these rules. A lot of people, I heard a lot of people saying, can I just get a glimpse at what the application is going to look like? Well, and I think people need to realize you can't set a standard until those rules are complete. I heard a lot of concern about water and equity and sort of the barrier to entry of these entrepreneurs or for businesses. And the water issue is nothing new. We cover this in the podcast and the Growing Forward podcast a lot. People are just really concerned. How much water are these plants going to take? How much energy are these plants going to take? So a lot of the rural sort of water districts are saying, hey, we're worried that these big time producers are going to come in, maybe even from out of state, and sort of suck up the water or sort of exploit these water rights that are out there. And besides that, the other concern, like I said, was equity, where there's a lot of people that are saying, hey, we want to get into this micro business situation, but you're still making it really expensive, really difficult. You know, one of the concerns is that they have to have everything in place before they get a license, meaning that, and even for a micro business. So if you're trying to grow 100 plants, you're going to pay the state $1,000 for a registration fee. But a lot of folks I've spoken to said it's maybe $400,000 minimum to get a place to rent for a year. Keep in mind, these folks have to have a place to rent and grow for a number of months before they even start selling. That's a lot of capital that goes into that. So that was really the other concern I heard, was just sort of, how are you going to make this easier for local small businesses to get into this industry?
And let's turn the page from cannabis over to the GOP here in New Mexico, which has distributed a petition to call for an extraordinary session. Andy, can you explain to me what exactly extraordinary session is and what the goal is here?
Extraordinary sessions, the best way to think of it for anybody that's familiar with special sessions, if you've been following along this year, it's a similar situation, but instead of the governor calling the legislature back, it's the legislature calling themselves back without needing the approval of, and not to get too sort of wonky on this, but you know, every session, I should back up, she does not call regular sessions, but she does call the governor, whoever it may be, orders the special sessions. And in this case, it's the other way around, right? Where they say, the governor doesn't want to bring us back, but we have some issue that we need to bring up. And in this case, the issue from I think it's almost all the Republicans, they say that there's some COVID funding that the state got, and the legislature tried to appropriate some of that money, and the governor vetoed it, saying that she wanted to control where that money went. And so sort of the issue with GOP is saying, essentially, we need to either work out something in the session so that we can come to an agreement, or we need to override her veto. That's obviously another reason they can call themselves back. Usually the reason, it has happened once in 2002 under Governor Gary Johnson. And I think he vetoed the budget almost completely that year. And so the legislature said, we're coming back and we're going to override your veto, essentially. So it's happened before in our lifetime, but it's sort of a long shot, sort of a Hail Mary, especially, you know, just the dynamics of everything right now. The governor is still in her first term. And at least in my experience, governors in their second term are a little bit more vulnerable. People aren't necessarily as worried about aligning and keeping them in office because they know that they're on their way out. In this case, I don't see Democrats by large coming out for this. I think, you know, there's quite a few Democrats who are okay with the governor's stance on this. There's some exceptions. I can think of one or two Democrats who are encouraging people to sign on to this, but I don't see it happening, honestly.
We would need a 3/5 supermajority to even call this extraordinary session. So it doesn't look like it's going to happen. That's all the time we have. Andy Lyman is a reporter with NewMexicoPoliticalReport.com. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to talk with me. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always great. Thanks, Bryce.